February 1990. In winter, the forest bears its secrets. Hill and vale are revealed through disrobing trees. Mud and bone arise from dying weeds. Woodpeckers, taking notice, pry deeper on leafless limbs and rotting logs. Their drumbeat goes out like a warning. Emil Grimm, out for a morning walk, exulted in all of it. Being a German of a certain age, he loved getting into the woods, and as a professional keeper of secrets, he was impressed by any display of full disclosure. The trouble was that this year's unveiling hadn't confined itself to the trees. His employer, indeed his country, was being stripped as bare of its cloaking as the oaks and beeches, all because a concrete wall in Berlin had been knocked to the ground a few months earlier. A shocking act of defiance that had set people loose in ways forbidden for nearly 30 years. Freedom of movement was fine by Emil, long overdue, in fact, but the attendant bustle and bother were letting light and air into places not built to withstand scrutiny. Inquisitive people had begun unlocking cabinets and closets that, for good reason, had long remained undisturbed. Soon enough, Emil, too, would be flushed from cover. In a few weeks, he would receive his last paycheck from the HVA, the Foreign Intelligence Service of the Ministry of State Security, or Stasi, as everyone now seemed to be calling it. Weeks earlier, the ministry's headquarters complex, five city blocks of hulking gray buildings, had been emptied of its 7,000 employees, Emil among them. He wasn't even allowed back in to clean out his desk. Protesters had already ransacked one building, tossing documents out the window like ticker tape for a capitalist parade, until police finally intervened. Foreign intelligence services, friendly and hostile, were eagerly lining up for a look at the leftovers. Some were offering money for the slightest glimpse. Just thinking about it made Emil queasy. Certain secrets had always been toxic in the German Democratic Republic. Turn them loose now, with the two Germanys preparing to reunite, and there was no telling what might climb off the pages. Figuratively speaking, a plague was at hand with no cure available, although Emil was working on that. He had other worries, too. In the West German capital of Bonn, there was talk of prosecuting the East German spymasters who had outwitted them for years. Treason, they were calling it, as if East Germany had never existed as a separate nation. Emil's name was said to be high on the list of targets, and at the age of 57, prison was an especially daunting prospect. As borders were opening for his countrymen, his were closing. Should he flee? Hire a lawyer? Go into hiding? In the meantime, he had taken refuge with his wife at their woodland dacha north of Berlin, near the rural village of Prenden, where an hour ago he had set out on his favorite trail. It looped uphill along a mossy path before descending through beaches to a loamy circuit of a small, pretty lake, the Bauersee. His plan was the same as on every other morning: clear his head by listening to the birds as they reported in from their dawn patrols. Keep an eye out for fox, deer, and boar. Breathe deeply, stretch his legs, find out what had happened overnight. Nature was the only realm still offering free rein to his curiosity. But as Emil began his descent, he realized that even this frontier was now at risk of closure. The voices were the first sign, a grim mutter of officious males, punctuated by bursts of static from a walkie-talkie. He paused on the hillside to listen, breath misting, nose running, right knee aching from an old injury best left unexplained. Peering through the branches toward the lakeshore, 40 yards downhill, he saw a cordon of yellow plastic tape. Near it were three men in dark greatcoats, no, four, moving to and fro like foraging ravens. The overcast lighting of a 40-watt sun turned them into silhouettes, but the gloomiest sight was the body that lay among them at the water's edge, a man's, sprawled face down across tree roots glassy with ice. Beside the body was a bright orange watch cap. Emil knew this cap, and knew its owner. The man's name rose to his lips on a gush of nausea, and then died before he could utter it. He swallowed with difficulty, tasting bile, and tried to regain control of his emotions. Perhaps the hat belonged to someone else, a thread of hope that began to unravel the moment he grasped it.